Any of you ever been on the downloads section of your computer? Have any of you, do you know what I'm talking about, anybody? No, don't worry if you don't, okay? It doesn't matter. But just for now, bear with me and listen to what I'm going to ask you. If you go on the downloads section of your laptop, you will find a huge, huge long list of all the stuff you've ever opened and downloaded. And because I was looking for something, I stumbled upon this, and I encourage you to go home after lunch and look at the download section of your laptop, okay, of your computer, and see how much stuff you've got in there. It's just humongous. And I've started to delete all the stuff that I don't think I need anymore. You know, it may well be that next week someone says, oh, have you still got that document? And I'll say, no, sorry, I deleted it, etc. But I started looking at old sermons, which was a joy. And this book that I used to use, and I haven't used for a while, and I started looking at these and thinking, did I really write that? Is this something that we need to look at again? And I found this piece of paper. And it relates to, Dave was here last week, Dave Clifford, and he was talking about it still being the time of Epiphany. Do you remember that? About the manifestation of God to the Gentiles. I'll come to that again in a minute, but I've got to read it to you. It's just easier to read it to you. It says, it just struck me that in the case of the wise men and John the Baptist, and hopefully us, that in all humility, they and we should recognize the majesty of the Messiah revealed in Jesus Christ and acknowledge our place as servants of God. And that kind of still works for me. And then I go on to say that as we enter a new year, because we're still kind of in the new year, in a minute I'm going to give you something to think about for the rest of the year. That as we enter a new year, that we promise to keep the faith, focus on Jesus the Messiah, to recognize and acknowledge the goodness in other people, and to keep the promises we make. I just thought, yeah, that's sounds eminently sensible. To keep the faith and to focus on Jesus as the Messiah. And I don't see why we should stray from that. I don't see why we should change our thinking about that at all. And this whole phrase of Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever keeps bouncing back into my ears. And I wrote this first time back using this book, and I found that piece of paper where I'd written that in January 2024, which still seems relevant. And as Dave reminded us about Epiphany last week, a time when we celebrate the presentation of Jesus to the Gentiles, Epiphany is not the end of a journey, it's only the beginning. When I speak about the Magi, when I've spoken about them in the past, I've always thought, you know, sometimes, do you ever get things that come up on your phone that the MSN have sent you or Google has sent you? And you look at that and you think, oh, right, okay. And then you scroll down. Many's the time that I've spoken about how when you're on your computer, you see something come up on the right-hand column and you can't resist clicking on that, and then it scrolls through and you find all sorts. I've always wondered why did they start the journey? Why did the Magi, the wise men, why did they start the journey? They saw a star. Yeah, okay, big deal, it's a star. But they had the faith to do it. And I'm going to talk a lot about faith today and about whether you've got a faith or whether you haven't and whether you should do. And I've written here that also applies to your own personal epiphany. It's like when the penny drops, I looked up the thing about the penny drops. What's the meaning behind the penny drops? It's something to do with slot machines and things like that. About when you put it in the machine, those old-fashioned machines, and the penny drops and it works. It's like riding a bike or learning to swim. You try to learn for ages and ages and ages, and then all of a sudden, it works. Apart from our Jack, who's on his bike and just coming down the hill and just doesn't know what a brake is, which is a bit of an issue. But you learn eventually what a brake is. And someone sent me a video of some of our American cousins who went go-karting for the first time. Didn't know where the brake was, but they knew where the accelerator was. Whoosh, bash into the people at the front of it. It suddenly clicks, doesn't it? And that's the same with your faith. That suddenly God speaks to you in a funny sort of way. You think, what is all this about? And faith is about giving up. Faith is about giving in to God and asking him to take us on. And in Matthew 10, verse 5, Jesus said to his apostles, "Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel." We spoke about this on Tuesday night, about how Jesus is saying, don't go to the Gentiles. You're a Gentile, you are, unless of course you've hidden it from me, and actually you're Jewish and you never told me, but that's kind of your secret. But generally it says, don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel. And what did they do? They said, no, we're not interested. You're not really the Messiah. We'll wait for somebody else. So when did we as Gentiles have access to the Messiah? Was it in Jesus' time? You look through your Bibles and Jesus doesn't speak to the Gentiles. So does that mean it's not relevant to us? Does that mean that we have to wait until Paul starts talking about how he's called to speak to the Gentiles? So does the scriptures in the Gospels apply to us? Or is it just post-Paul? Now, I'll be entirely honest with you, and I was due to be at Five Ways on the 5th of January, and the snow cancelled that. And I prepared a message, which I didn't want to throw away, so I thought I'd share it with you. Because I think it's got some merit, and we'll see. Remember what I said, throw it up in the air, catch one. Let's see what comes down. Our constant aim is to encourage you all, young and old. And that's what I meant with the kids this morning, you know. Because Jeff kind of told me off the last time I led to the kids. Saying that there's never a time when they can't give their heart to Jesus. Doesn't matter how young or how old they are. And the same applies to you. I don't know how young or old you are. You look 50. But there's never a time when you can't say, Lord, come into my life. Let me follow you. So our constant aim is to encourage you all, young and old, to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ and to become a child of God. And that's what we'll repeat. We'll repeat because that's what we believe. Why in Hebrews 13, verse 8, didn't it say, is that slide up? You got it. That why didn't it say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? Why didn't it say that? I don't know. It would make sense. That's the context in which he's saying it, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But he doesn't say, and forever, which is why we talk to the kids. What does forever mean? What time scale are you working to? And this is a key question that I think most people who preach to themselves primarily, because it's something that's cropped up in their lives and they like to share. And this is definitely one for me. What time scale are you working to? It's a live question as far as I'm concerned. I want you to consider if you need to revise your time scale thinking. Time to think, not yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but forever. And I guess it's because of mortality and the impact of different events on your thinking about mortality and what time you have is that if you are, and I know I have to be careful with what I say, and I'll use myself as the example. If I think only of this life, then there is no point. There's no point. If I only think of this life, if I only think about what I'm doing now, you know, people talk about live the day, don't they? Carpe diem. Live for the day. Live day by day. If all I'm thinking about is that time scale that I have, the mortal coil, whatever it is, 70, 70, 70 years and 10. If I only think in that time scale, no matter how many of these there are, 18,250 there may be, but forever is beyond that. Forever is beyond that. And however many days we've got left cumulatively, it goes on. When we celebrated the millennium in 2000, that was a big deal, wasn't it? You remember that? Do you remember where you were on the millennium? Yeah? Anybody tell me where you were? You were at home? Anybody? Janet? You're in Germany. Okay, I'm coming to you. Anybody else? You're at work for the millennium? Oh, changing the system in case of the bug, and it completely messed you up. And that never happened, did it? TikTok. Who cares about TikTok? Right? TikTok's closed down. Pass me by. I don't care, really. If you come tonight to the Together service, we're going to talk about all sorts of different things, looking back, looking forward, and so on. So I'm picking up some of what I'm saying now tonight. If you're able to come, please do. Let's have a look at this first scripture, Jeff. Anybody got the button? There you go. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Have you ever been in a forum where they say, oh, forget the past. We don't want to look back at that, we want to look forward. Have you ever been in those spiritual meetings where they say, let's not worry about what we used to do? Well, it's about today, it's about tomorrow, it's about forever. It kind of, from a personal standpoint, drives me slightly crazy that everybody wants, let's change. And I'm thinking, no, I want to stay where I am and use the benefit of past knowledge and guidance. I don't know if any of you remember when you went to the celebration at the Zoo when Ward Jones gave out some of those extracts from his Bible, and Jez very kindly sent me an extract from it. And it said that in 1924, the morning attendance at the Zoo was 278. The afternoon attendance in 1924 was 444. Okay, where on earth they all went, I don't know. You know, how would you fit 444 in the Zoo? I mean, that I know they've got a balcony, but you know, 600. Can you remember those times when there were lots of people there, and there'd be like lots of kids, presumably. In 1928, their highest year. I'm not saying you're alive then. Hang on. You made me cough, Margaret. In 1928, the number on the register was 689. Don't look back. Ignore that. 689. How many are in there now, Ted? Now, I'm not blaming you. Well, I am, actually. I'm blaming me and you and us. We look back. Where have we gone wrong? Why don't we have 689? And, okay, you could shout all the excuses. Oh, it's too busy now. We've got lots of things. All the kids are busy playing football, this, that, and the other. I know all that. Here's one for you. Are we the generation that closes the church? We're still using the manuscripts of fishermen who lived 2,000 years ago. That's not really long. If you look at these archaeological excavations, I was watching one earlier in the week, and they go back and they find bodies and skeletons and coffins and things from Roman times. It's not that long ago. We use the scriptures from these people who say this is the word of God. And look what's changed. Even in my very short lifetime, even in your short lifetime, so much has changed. We don't have rickets anymore, do we? Thank the Lord for that. Right? Antibiotics. We've all had antibiotics, haven't we? Operations that transform our lives. Telephones that can speak to my son he was in Saudi yesterday. He's on his way back today. And who you can speak to and you see him. Karen speaks to Jared in New Zealand, thousands and thousands and thousands of miles, as if he could be in Stourbridge. So much has changed. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. How far ahead are we going to look? We're going to look to the year 3000? 2000 was a big deal. Dave had to go to work in case the bug completely closed down his company. You remember where we were? Karen and me and Dave and a few others were in a freezing cold Brixham. It was the coldest. We slept in our clothes. Me, Matt and Chris slept in the same bed because it was so cold. And then they decided, stupid them, that they thought, the millennium, what should we do? We'll go skinny dipping in the sea. As you do. What are you going to do in the year 3000 or 4000? Life goes on. Trump's back in tomorrow. Things go round in circles. But Jesus is still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's who you rely on. That's who you can rely on. So do we have to look ahead into eternity? Let's look at the next passage, please, Jeff. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Encourage each other with these words. That's why I say don't get stuck with the timescale of just today or tomorrow. or even 3,000. That's where faith comes in. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about that passage? Do you have the faith to believe it? Can you live your life in this context? Everyone's going to change the world. AI is going to change the world. Elon Musk is going to change the world. The problem is that it is something that I worry about. And I'm not blaming you for this. Let's look at this next passage, and I'll finish with this. There's three slides, I think. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, or what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I'm surprised that there aren't more people advertising apps that say, worry a bit and it'll add an hour to your life. You could have the app, the worry app, on your phone. And you say, oh, I've just worried for another hour. We'd all be much older, wouldn't we? We'd all live much longer. Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? I can see some of you do worry about clothes. I'm not saying anything about that. You got your best on today. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. I meant to underline that bit. For the pagans run after these things. These are things that people who don't have a context of forever live for, because they think that it's temporal. It's only going to happen in their lifetime. Here's the real reason. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Don't think about anything else. Don't think about anything else. This is what you've got to think about. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's a real promise for us to take. That's one. Catch it. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. So here I finish. How do you feel about trying to stop worrying? I'm not joking now. How do you feel about trying to stop worrying? How about putting your faith and trust in God that he will do what's right for you? How do you feel about doing that? It's only the 19th of January, so there's still time to make a New Year's resolution. How do you feel about trying to stop worrying and to trust in God? Put your trust in God. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Make this your priority. Do not worry about tomorrow.